you were great! Yeah, we serve a great God! Well, this is just going to be something I thought, well, why not just share a little bit and pull in something, and this is not earth-shattering, but it's to try to look at some moms in the Bible. You know, we don't really think about a lot about them. You know, it's always the guys. The guys get the thing, you know. But it's the women, it's the moms that produced the men that went on. It was through the lineage of the moms that Jesus Christ came about, you know. And so it is. It's something I just want to touch upon, and it'll be probably brief a little bit here. We'll kind of go through some of the names, and I'm just going to touch upon the things that they might have done. We might turn to some scriptures there. We'll just see what it looks like here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that these are just words on a paper, and they're just taken from books, things out of the Bible of your word, Lord. But Lord, it'll mean more if it's that of your spirit touching our spirits with what is shared here. And so some of these we're familiar with, and Lord, we just want to honor them and try to bring that of Mother's Day to the moms here and to recognize that within your word, Lord. There were so many powerful and wonderful women that were used by you, Lord. So God utilized various mothers in the Bible to fulfill his divine purpose and his plan. He would use their faith. Many of them had a lot of faith. Some of them probably put men to shame. Their nurturing ability. What's that of a mom but a nurturer? You know, a child outside falls. They come crying generally to mom. Ah, I skinned my knee. Mom. And mom would look down and say, "Well, you want mom to kiss your boo-boo?" "Yeah." "Does it feel better?" "Yeah." Just all actions, just mom's nurturing abilities. He knew better than to go to dad, because dad was like, "Oh, just stop crying and suck it up and be a man. I don't want to hear that, daddy. I'm a boy. I'm a child." But the mother's nurturing. And actions to carry out the plan that he had for his people. Now, these mothers lived in an age when women, they were often treated as second class. They were looked down upon, or they were just off to the side. It wasn't anything foundationally powerful about them. And so they were treated like second class citizens. But yet God, he appreciated the true worth of them and the plan that he had destined for them. See, even for us today, and we look at things and we may consider ourselves second class, has-beens, what can I do? But God looks at you and he knows what he has planned for you and for us individually. And that's a great plan. God doesn't come up with just mumbo-jumbo stuff. It's usually when we look at it from the once it develops and it's occurred and we look back after time, we go, that was pretty powerful. Yet God appreciates their true worth as he does today to the mothers that we have for us. We can see from the list of motherhood is one of the highest callings. Very important. I believe that we can see how these women had put their hope in the God of the impossible to bring about his plan. And for us today, we are that same. He calls us, men and women, to do things that we would look at as impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so in our lives today, and some of our things we go through, and pain and aches and weaknesses, or knowledge or understanding, or I don't know if I'm capable. I don't. We have a lot of, I don't think I can. But with God, I know I can. But we have to put that in place. But God of the impossible is to bring his plan. He had them at the right place at the right time to fulfill that plan. And he's moving and working in that today. God is still the same God, right? The same God of all of those of our ancestries and all of those back in the Old Testament. He's still God of today, working his plan through us, through moms of today. Think of the mother that birthed like Billy Graham. What a powerful, powerful man of God. And I think they speak about the Sunday school teacher, which was a woman, and think of the power, and you know, just imparting and teaching, and Billy Graham and who he turned out. I could imagine in his early years as a child, he was like any other kids, right? Like, you think he's going to grow up and be an evangelist and well-known around the world? Not my son, not my daughter, whatever. But think of the women that have produced some powerful men and women of God, even for our today's. These mothers and the maternal role itself were central in the biblical narrative for carrying out God's plan of salvation. And that's what the whole thing, that's what is the crux of God's desire and his plan? Salvation. That's what it started out to be. That's what it continues to be today, is salvation. He is wanting to populate heaven. He is wanting to reconcile lost sinners back to himself. And it all started back even from that of the garden and Eve, and as we go through that of Eve and Sarah, Rebecca, Leah and Rachel, Jochebed, Hannah, even Bathsheba. I mean, you look at things that were going on in their lives and wow. But today, we're still seeing it's all for salvation. It was all to bring about that of Jesus Christ for that salvation. His nurturing love and demonstrating his compassionate heart. When we think of comfort and nurturing, God compares his comfort to a mother's comforting her child and emphasizing compassion and tender love. The New Century Version in Isaiah 66:13, I will comfort you as a mother comforts her child, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. But let's go back to us of today. I will comfort you as a mother comforts your child. We pray for that. God, comfort us. God, give us strength. God, give us peace. God, give us this. Help me with that. Provide this. And we look at God as our provider. And he can provide all of these things. He's comforting us. He's nurturing us as that of God the Father. And so we can kind of see parallels, God and mothers. What about in protection? Jesus uses the imagery of a mother hen protecting the brood to describe his care for us. Matthew 23:37, again, New Century Version. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone to death those who are sent to you. Many times I wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you did not let me. We find that in the Old Testament, I think in Psalms and things about the brooding hen, and you know, the we've had, and I know way back in our Thursday's teachings, which goes back some time now, about how the chicks and things, and how the mother hen would protect them and draws them to them. Well, that is like God. He protects us. He draws us to him to protect us during these times of when we need protection. A foundation that God, he knits individual together in our mother's womb. We learned about that in Psalms 139:13-15. New Living says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You know, we talked a little bit about the blood and just break down the body in itself, how the body is so marvelously made. It mystifies, I believe, even science of today. I think when they get into the nitty-gritty of really still exploring the body and trying to figure out some things. I know medically we've come a long way of healing and correcting and replacing and doing so many things within the body. But a lot of times after the surgeon does so much, they will say, well, it's up now to your body to heal. We can bring it this far, but now the body has to take it the rest of the way. Things in our body that fights off viruses and infections and how things within us are renewed. And, you know, you think of the joints, you think of everything that bends and twists. You think the tendons, the muscles. Now, when you're younger, you don't think a whole lot about it because you're just go, go, go. But as we get into our ages of where we're at today, we think of these things. There's times I might sit outside and think like, wow, this elbow of mine has bent a lot of times in the almost 70 years of doing things. Things that you've carried, things that you've lifted, things that you've hauled, things that we have done in our life. But this body is wonderfully made. I liked how the New Living says, you've made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you've knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. As moms and dads, when the first thing you go after you have a child and you're seeing them in the nursery or you're seeing them in the birthing room or whatever, aren't you marveled? The little fingers, the little fingernails, the little nose. But we look at these babies and we see the creation of God. But I can look at a tree. I can look at you can look at anything in this life, and there's a creation of God in it all. But when you get to a human being and how they grow and develop, it's awesome. So let's look at some of these mothers that help fulfill the plans. Again, we're just going to kind of just touch, and this is just something you get out of like a commentary type thing of just like they break down of these things. So I didn't spend a lot of deep time, you know, digging out all these people. They're all there already. But in Genesis 3:20, we find that Eve, in Genesis 3:20, it talks about that, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. The mother of all living. She was the first woman and the first mother. She didn't have a role model. Could you imagine that? Now when our kids have babies, I mean, our daughters, I know Melissa one time, and Heather probably the same, but, you know, you go to birthing classes, the hospital has these things, that, you know, they're going to tell you all about, this is what to expect. As soon as you get the baby home, they're like, I haven't a clue. How am I to do this? But at least they've got a parent to call, or they can look at a book. But here's Eve. She didn't even have a role model or a mentor to help her, but she paved the maternal way to become mother of all the living. Her name means living thing, or life. Since Eve experienced fellowship with God before sin and the fall, she probably knew God more intimately than any other woman since. She and Adam had lived in a paradise, but they had spoiled it by listening, of course, to that of Satan instead of obeying that of God. Eve suffered terrible grief, yet, when her son Cain murdered his brother Abel, but yet, despite these tragedies, Eve went on to fulfill her part in God's plan for populating the earth. You can have a hiccup. You can mess up. But guess what? God still has a plan to work through you. It should help every one of these here that we look at just about have some of those instances, as well as do the men in the Bible. So I think that's what helps us understand these things, that, you know, we're not perfect. God isn't looking for perfection in us, but he's looking for the willingness. He's looking for those that can understand and have a desire to serve him and actually to have a desire for him. I want my God. What about Sarah in Genesis 21? It kind of starts there. She was one of the most important ones in the Bible. She was the wife of Abraham, which made her the mother of the nations. Could you imagine that? The mother of the nations of Israel. What came out of the womb of these women and what it went on to develop and occur years and years later. But that has to start somewhere, right? And as mothers of today, when we have babies and children and things, it's got to start somewhere, and it starts at the birth, coming home, nurturing, teaching, loving, to fulfill what now we put them on after so many years to where they go out and now they're to fulfill. Whether it's the sons or the daughters, they are now moving out to do their things in life. She shared in Abraham's journey to the promised land and all the promises that God would fulfill there. Yet, she was barren in the beginning, wasn't she? She conceived through a miracle despite her old age. It wasn't because God was late in doing what he wanted to do. It was because God was doing on time what he wanted to do. Quite up there in age, right? To say, hey, guess what? Abraham would have said, honey, we're going to have a baby. Well, that didn't go over too well. He probably ducked when he said it and shut the door real quick. But yet Sarah was barren. She was barren. All pretty well at that age, thinking like, my life's pretty well done. I'm at where I'm at. Many of us today, when we look at our ages, you know, most of the people that are in this room, the older ones even, you're not even at the age when she had the baby. And it's like, we still got time. God still has a plan and a purpose. That's why we live out our life until the last breath, because God still has a purpose. Run that race until you're called home. But yet she's barren and she conceived through a miracle despite her old age. And that's what God works in, miracles. God works in the unexpected. God works of the impossible to make the possible come about. I'm glad I serve a God that can take the impossible and turn it around to make it happen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. So she conceived through a miracle despite her old age, and Sarah was a good wife, a loyal helper, and a builder with that of Abraham. Her faith serves as an example for every person who has had to wait on God to act. Anybody in here waiting? Gosh, we all go through waits. Big and small. I find even in our lives as we've gotten older, I've said this before, making decisions does not stop at 60 or 65. You are making more decisions, or at least the decisions have changed, but you would think you get to that ripe old age, everything just falls into place and you don't have to worry about anything and it's just happy-go-lucky. But we are making decisions and having to make choices to see how we go throughout our life. And that'll happen and continue until God calls us home. And so we've got to continually stand before God, even at no matter 70, at 75, 80, and say, God, here I am. What more is there that I am to do for you? And whatever it is, Lord, give me the strength, the ability, the physical agility, the mental ability, whatever, Lord, so that I can complete this race that I'm on with you. Don't give in. Don't give up. What about Rebecca? Genesis 25 and 20, you kind of find her in that area. She was another matriarch of Israel. Like her mother-in-law Sarah, she was barren. Notice how many women were barren. It would have been so much simpler had God had women that were pretty, what we would call fertile myrtles, right? The old adage we'd call them. But he had these women that were barren and sometimes of age. But he wasn't done with them yet, even though they felt like my life is pretty well at the other end. She was the matriarch of Israel, another one. like that of Sarah. She was barren. When her husband Isaac prayed for her, God opened Rebekah's womb, and she conceived and gave birth to twin sons, Esau and Jacob. During an age when women were typically submissive, Rebekah turned out quite assertive. At times, she would take matters into her own hands. Sometimes that works out, and other times it results in disastrous consequences. Gee, sounds like the life of today. We make a decision. We're kind of headstrong in it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Just quickly, you got Leah and Rachel in Genesis 29:30. They're wives of Jacob who together established the 12 tribes of Israel. There's where the tribes start coming in. This is all started out as Eve, the mother of the nations of the world. We think this thing started, and now it's continued to proliferate and grow. So Leah and Rachel, my goodness, they together established the 12 tribes of Israel with Judah through that of Leah, becoming the line of David and Jesus. There's where you begin to see that branch start separating, to where now the lineage is going to that of Jesus. Jochebed. In Exodus 2, that's the mother of Moses. Very interesting, you know, just reading some of these stories. And here she had that child and knew that if she would turn it over, that the Pharaoh there, that they would kill the babies, the boys, because they were concerned that they were starting to increase. And, you know, you read that and they're saying, these women, they're just having babies before the midwives. You know, we were talking about Denny earlier, but the midwives would be there to help them have the child. And they're saying, like, well, before we even get there, they're having these kids. We can't even get there in time. Verse 15 and Exodus 1:15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Sephra, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, hey, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it's a son, then you shall kill him, but if it's a daughter, then she shall live. But here's the midwives in verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king had commanded them, but they saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt calls these midwives and says, hey, why have you done this? You've saved the male children. They're alive. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dwelt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily, and it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So, command to kill. So now we got Jochebed. She has this baby heir, Moses. She sees the need. Now he's like 3 months old. She can't hide him anymore. She puts him into a basket. We talked about the pitch, with pitch around it to keep it afloat. Sets it into the reeds of the lake, or the river there, and set it there. And we know the story of that. But here she is. She's the mother of Moses, Aaron, Miriam. Is one of the most unappreciated mothers here in the Bible, yet she also shows tremendous faith in that of God. To avoid the mass slaughter of the Hebrew boys, she set her baby adrift in the Nile River. Someone would find him and raise him. God so worked that her baby was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Isn't that something of how it turns out if you read that story? It's like here, the daughter of Pharaoh that said to kill these, she finds this baby. And she begins to say, well, how about if we find a Hebrew woman to nurse and take care of this? Okay, go find it. Well, the sister was there and saw that. Anyway, put the two together, and now the mother of Moses is also now taking care of him, but now it's in the open. Jochebed even became her own son's nurse, ensuring that Israel's great leader would grow up under the godly influence of his mother during his most informative years. God uses Moses mightily to free the Hebrew people from their 400-year bondage to slavery and to take them to the promised land. But where would he be without the mother that started that whole thing? Well, God's plan was God's plan. He just works it out. That's why sometimes in our lives of today, and we seem to be doing something that's hard to do, not attainable in our own strength. All the things around us are actually coming down on us. But with God, all things here again are possible, and God will make that way. The writer of Hebrews pays special tribute to her in Hebrews 11:23, you can write that down, look at maybe, showing that her faith allowed her to see the importance of saving her child's life so that he might in turn save his people. Although there's very little written in the Bible about her, the story that she has speaks powerfully to the mothers of today. Hannah, 1 Samuel 1, kind of shows up. Her story is like several other mothers in that of the Bible. She knew what it meant to suffer long years of barrenness. In her case, she was cruelly taunted by her husband's and her husband's other wives. So they had concubines. They had other multi-wives. It wasn't just one. But she never gave up on God. Speaks volumes for us today. Don't give up on God. Finally, her heartfelt prayers, they were answered. Here again, prayer. And what happens if you don't get? Pray again. What if all else? Stand. What else? Just keep praying. Keep pursuing. Keep persevering. She gave birth to a son, Samuel, and then did something entirely selfless to honor her promise to God and gave Samuel back to God. Praying all I want. And now it's that's why in our days of what we do as a understanding of word is we dedicate babies. We don't baptize them, so to speak, or christen them. We take a baby and we dedicate him back to the Lord. The Lord has given us this child, this family, this mom and dad, this child to raise. But yet as we raise them, Lord, we will raise them with the admonition in all of you. And Father, we dedicate that baby back to you, boy or girl. God favored Hannah with 5 more children, bringing great blessings into her life. Bathsheba, now she's something. 2 Samuel 11 and 12, chapters 11 and 12 in 1 Kings 1. She was the object of David's lust. David had arranged to have her husband, Uriah, killed to get him out of the way. God was so displeased with David's actions that he struck dead the baby from that union. Despite heartbreaking circumstances, Bathsheba remained loyal to David. Their next son was that of Solomon. Solomon in the Bible. Wow. Was loved by God and grew up to become Israel's greatest king. From David's line would come Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We find that Bathsheba would have the distinguished honor of being one of only 5 women that would be listed in that of Jesus' ancestry. Pretty interesting how that all came about. In the very beginning, it was kind of like, ooh, this and that, and she had a husband, and this affair, and this and that. And well, I'm not going to get into that. I was looking up some of that as far as David and her and who was the one. And yeah, interesting. But yet she turned out to be what God was using to bring about his plan. We jump to that in the New Testament of Luke 1. We read about that of Elizabeth, the mother of John. She was barren here again, what? In her old age. Elizabeth was another of the miracle mothers in the Bible. She conceived and gave birth to a son. She and her husband named him John, as an angel had instructed. They were obeying what God was wanting them to do. Like Hannah before her, Elizabeth dedicated her son to that of God. And like Hannah's son, he also became a great prophet. I mean, you think, wow. John the Baptist. Elizabeth's joy was complete when her relative, though Mary, guess what? She comes visiting her, and she's pregnant with the future Savior of the world. And when she heard it, the babe leaped in her womb. And then we have that of Mary. Oh, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Find that here again in Luke 1, along with that of Elizabeth. She was the most honored mother in the Bible. She was that of a human, the mother of that of Jesus, who saved the entire world from its sin. Remember, we go back to that of the Genesis, and we read about these things, and it was all for that of salvation. Although she was only a young, humble peasant, Mary accepted God's will for her life. We all know that of Mary. Highly favored above all. And she pretty well said, "Whatever, Lord." Okay. Doing that, she suffered a lot of shame, a lot of pain, but yet she never doubted. She never gave up. She never turned away from that of what God had planned. And she never doubted that that son of hers at that very moment and what he would become. She had a lot of questions, didn't understand it all, was still trying to figure it out, as don't we all sometimes figure out God's plan as we're walking through it? Like, okay, I'm walking, I'm honoring, I'm going to follow you, I believe you, but I don't see the end yet, but so be it, I'm going to go. Mary stands as a highly favored by that of God. Here again, a great example of obedience and submitting to that of God. So as we look at these few, and there's others in there, but we find a lot of things that God comes and has a plan, and he will use sometimes the most least likely that we as people, humans, man, would even consider being used. We would say, not that one. Now I can see this one. Not that one, but this one. But God sees his plan, and nothing is going to change that. As much as the enemy wants to try to subvert it, as much as the devil wants to try to manipulate it, as much as the devil tries to change it, he can't. But I am one to believe that if God's got a plan, he will work it through another person or another entity. And so with that today, that's Mother's Day. That's some of the moms and ones that are in the Bible that really changed the world. Set the world upside down. Did marvelous things. Changed the course. But it was all because of back what God says, making a way where there seems to be no way, that I'm going to bring my people back to me through that of salvation to rid them of their sin, to reconcile them back to me. Thank you, God. God, thank you for your plan and how your plan has worked and will continue to work. That no force, Lord, here, through that of the spiritual realm, through that of the devil trying to change or trying to destroy or trying to keep it from being completed, nothing will stop you, God, because you are God. You will come through. You will fulfill. It will come about. Lord, if we had your mind's eye, we would already see it done, because it is done. Thank you, Father. And Lord, again, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for these women that are shared about in the Bible, Lord, and things that they went through and challenges that they experienced and how you worked through their womb, Lord, to bring in your plan. And the children that they conceived and had, Lord, how they went on to fulfill and how they did, Lord, what you had totally planned from that of the beginning of creation. Thank you, Father. And I pray again, Lord, for the mothers of our todays. You will strengthen them, encourage them, keep them safe, let them know how vibrantly and important they are. We pray for families of today, Lord God, that there would be a return to the family, Lord. That, Lord God, you would bring love, togetherness, strength within our families, Lord. It's a battle, Lord. The enemy wants to destroy the family. Because once you destroy the family, pretty well your civilization and your society goes that direction. But Lord, we can see reclaiming of that. We can see a rebirthing of that. We see it in growing in numbers of younger college-age people, Lord, coming into faith, having a stirred up excitement in their spirit, Lord, to learn about you, Lord God. And so we thank you for that resurgence of that. Continue to let it multiply and grow, and let it just develop, Lord, and fulfill the plan that you have. I pray, Lord, a blessing on each one here today as we go. Let it be a continued blessed day. Help us, Lord, in the days ahead to always remember our moms. Lord God, even those that have gone on, Lord, but we can always reflect back to them and remember their nurturing and their care for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.